it'll pick me up. Anyway, I used to think I didn't really have much of a story because I've been raised in church my whole life. And I thought, okay, well, I've heard some really good testimonies. And, you know, I think, okay, well, what do I have to share? I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. My own kids grew up in the same church, okay, going to the same church. Until we moved here, we went to the same church since I was like 10. And my mom still goes to Delta. And so that's how our kids. So I think, well, what did I really have to share? And, you know, but then I think back and I said, well, however, getting from there to here, there was a journey that I had not knew I was going to go through. And it's like, what happens when we step off the path that God has laid out for us? My dream always was just to get married, have a couple kids, and live happily. I thought I had met that person. I was high school age, and I thought this was the person that was going to happen with. And in my own thinking, so sure that he was the right one, that I got ahead of the plan. Got pregnant, got married, and in that order, married too soon, too young, and but it's what I wanted, right? But did I pray about any of these huge decisions? I can't even tell you what I was thinking, let alone praying about. And I know I was very complacent about my faith when I was a teenager, young adult. I was baptized, I was spirit-filled, I taught Sunday school, but it was taking God's place in my life for granted. It was more like God had his place, and I kept him in his place while I lived my life. But I kept saying, and I've got a little thing on my, what I've written out here, God works all things together for his good, and he still had a plan for my life by his grace. Well, I had my son Drew. He's 35 now, and I'll tell you now, he was the only good thing that came out of that marriage, and the one blessing. And so you're not surprised to tell you that it didn't last. And after, once we were married, his dad hardly came to church anymore, and our marriage was not anything that was ever prayed over. And I want to say I'm not advocating divorce and remarriage by any stretch of the imagination. Don't get me wrong there. That's part of the story. But it was not built on any foundation. And then, so you're young, you're 21, hidden resentments lead to very subtle mental abuse, and it killed any feelings I had. And so found myself 23, single mom with a 2-year-old. And I think some things take place in your life that start with one step in the wrong direction, or in just in one direction. And that one little step for me was not to go to church that first Sunday. I moved into my own place with my son. And why? Well, that was my journey to find out that answer. And that little step led to 2 years of not going to church. Because I thought going out on Saturday night and having fun was more important, and that I had been missing out on some kind of a nightlife. So 2 years later, my little boy is 4. I had just recently lost my dad to cancer, and I'm 25 years old now. And that's one thing that always bothered me, is that I wasn't back serving the Lord when my dad passed away. And so that has always been something. So we've just passed 32 years of my dad passing away, end of January. And so it led me now to this point where I was like, do you ever wonder, have you ever had this thought, what would happen to your family if you suddenly died? Have you ever had that thought go through your head? Well, one day, I was driving with my son in the back and close to home, and I started thinking about this. And this picture came in my head. It was like, if I just suddenly died and I'm standing before God and he's asked me, what have you done for my son? And I realized I hadn't been raising my son to know Jesus. And remember my dream to be a mom, to be married and be a mom. And to me, the most important thing of being a mom was to be the best mom. And to raising my son to know Jesus was being the best mom I could be. So that was, you know, that was a big thing. It was just kind of like, it was like that light bulb switch that went on. And I realized what my dream was, and that wasn't, I wasn't doing that. So that next Sunday was Palm Sunday. And this scripture comes to mind here. In Ephesians, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." So I went to church that Sunday, back to Delta, with my son, sat up in the balcony, and you know, once in a while there's a message in tongues or a prophecy in church. It's a message through the Holy Spirit from God to for us to hear in the body of Christ. Well, that Sunday there was a message. And they, I think they were like right down below me when I, where I was in the balcony. I don't remember all of the message, but what I heard and what I remember was, "Don't you know that I died for all your guilt and your shame?" And that was like, that was that next revelation. And until that moment, I didn't realize that was the reason I didn't go to church that first Sunday. The guilt of my marriage failing. No one else in our family had ever even been separated. Both sides. And so that was what kept me going. Kept me away from church. And in Romans it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now the next Sunday was Easter. And we went to church again, sat in the back with my sister. And during the service, Pastor Schultz, Eldon Schultz was the pastor there then, asked if anyone wanted prayer and to come forward. Well, I couldn't have stood there and stayed in that spot if I wanted to. I just grabbed my sister and I said, "I got to go up. I want prayer." And pastor's wife, Marilyn Schultz, she prayed with me and I rededicated my life to the Lord. Now my son, Drew, he's heard this story several times because I remind him, you know, God's got his hand on his life. And for that, what he did for me and to bring us back. And he went through Bible school. He has been on the mission field. He spent a year in Rwanda, partway through being going to Bible school. And he got his papers to be a youth pastor. And his getting to Rwanda and all of that, I tell you, you sure learn a lot about your own faith and your own trust in God when your son is on the other side of the world. And you can't do anything to help him. All you can do is pray. And I said it was a huge learning for me as well as for him, and to trust God. But now we've got to get to the point where I met Marvin. I had a Christmas work dinner to go to. And this is, okay, that Easter was Easter of 1988, where I rededicated my life to the Lord. And that Christmas, I was working for a company, and we had a Christmas dinner to go to, and I didn't have anybody to go with. I'm now living in my mom's basement suite with Drew, and I wasn't praying about this dinner. I just didn't have anybody to go to. I was just kind of thinking about it. And I'm sitting there on the floor in the basement, and I just heard in my head, "Call Marvin Vath." It's the only time it's ever happened in my life where I actually heard in my head. And now, I didn't know Marvin. We went to the same church. I knew he grew up with my brother-in-law. I knew who he was, sort of. He knew Phil was my brother-in-law. We would both wait for our kids after Sunday school. He would say, "How's Phil?" I'd say, "Fine." That's about it, okay? Anyway, so, and I didn't know at that time that policemen didn't list themselves in the phone book. And so I phoned my brother-in-law to tell him this, that what I heard about call Marvin Vath, to see what he thought, because he knew him. He goes, "Yeah, go for it, right? Call him." And so I looked in the phone book. Okay, this was 30 years ago, remember? Phone books. And there was two listings for Vath in the phone book. One was his parents, the other was his ex. So Guess who Dom called? And I didn't know it, but it was his ex. And so she passed the message on to Marvin. Marvin phoned me, and I asked him out for our first date. That was December 17th, 1988. We got engaged on Valentine's 2 days ago, 30 years ago.
Wow.
Right away, and then we were married in June. And our Heavenly Father, he took two broken homes and made one mended home for the children we already had. We had one each. And then the one we had together after we were married. 30 years later, I'm still very thankful that Jesus is my Savior. Did I step off the path? God is so gracious. I know He was with me always. Regrets? I could have lived without some of the stuff that I did during those 2 years. But I know I'm the person I am today because of the choices I made. I do consider it a bit of a waste of 2 years. But I am who I am. Because of all of that, of my life. And when Satan ever tries to throw that back up with me, memories from our past, he does that. I just remember, as the word says, as far as the east is from the west. And I don't let that get me down. My sin is removed. And I know he has a plan and a purpose for my life. And all of my life will contribute to. And I still think there is something more he has in store for me. And I do continue to seek him for that. So here's another verse in John. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So I'm very thankful. We have a very blessed relationship, my husband and I. We don't argue. We have never had a fight. And we disagree. We have disagreed. We've made each other mad, but we do not fight, and we never have. And so I'm very thankful. And it's been an interesting